Big ol' Marcus.
Oh, dude.
Big ol' Marcus.
Right here.
Welcome back to the Native Ways Podcast. I'm your host, Richard Ellis.
I'm your co-host, Christian Miller.
And today, we're doing a little recap of the past couple weeks. Last y'all heard from us was with Ryan Murray of Texas Cash Magazine. Shout out to Ryan. Shout out to Texas Cash. Y'all go give that episode a listen. A disclaimer here, I'm a little under the weather, a little nasally, so I apologize ahead of time, but we're bringing y'all content.
Yep, you sure are. So we're going to kind of start it off with our past weekend that we had, not this one that we just had, but the one before that. So we went up to Greenville to meet up with my buddy Brad. He lives up there. There's a lake that we can hunt up there that we tend to hunt quite a bit, but typically we usually walk in. It's more just, you know, public land. He doesn't have any property or anything like that, but but it's public land walk-in spot, so we typically just hunt there. Well, we had kind of decided that we were going to hunt at some point in time together. We just didn't know exactly when.
Yeah.
Kind of planned it like opening weekend, and then that didn't really pan out. And they're like, you know, our weekends are getting booked up left and right all the time. So we kind of just had to throw a day and be like, hopefully it works for everybody. And, you know, thankfully it did. And we ended up going up there. We did pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we'll start off with kind of what we did. You know, we did duck hunting, obviously. We shot mallards, spoonie. I think that's it.
That was it.
Yeah. I mean, to go up there and kill a bunch of green is kind of nice because typically, you know, they have them up there a good amount, but the amount they had up there this past weekend was
pretty
kind of ridiculous compared to how it normally would be.
Yeah.
Typically, it's kind of like a teal, mainly like a teal lake, really. The teal get on there pretty heavy. You'll get some wood ducks that stay on there all year long and stuff like that. But as far as the greenheads, they'll come and go very, very sparse.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never been up there. This was my first trip. Thanks, Brad, for letting me come up there with Christian. It was a great time. Very welcoming to us. The lake was really interesting. A lot of flooded timber, I guess you could say, kind of for...
Yeah.
Not really flooded timber, but...
There's trees everywhere, yeah. Stumps everywhere.
Yeah, it's not what like people in Arkansas or Louisiana would call flooded timber, but there was sticks in water.
Yeah,
and a lot of them.
Yeah, so that was one thing that we had looked at because I brought my boat up this time, and I know from walking in that lake is pretty rough if you don't know where you're going because you're in the middle of the night, obviously, with your duck boat. You got your LED light on, just hoping and praying that you're going the right way. Looking down at your phone because, you know, you don't have a navigation on a freaking John boat.
Yeah.
Well, some people do, but, you know, I'm over here just roughing it out with my $700 Craigslist find that I've souped up to be a little duck boat.
Hey, and it works. I mean, we got in a...
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, later, we got in a little bit of a predicament, but we made it out of it. But shout out Wicked Lights because that got us through this... Rough water, I guess you could say.
Yeah, we woke up and it was probably mid-30s or so, maybe even low 30s. And, of course, you know, that fog, that layer of fog comes up off the lake from where it's kind of steaming because the water's warmer than the air. And that makes it nice and fun in a boat. You can't see anything. You flip on your LED bar and it makes it even worse. So you're pretty much just having to use what moonlight we had on a new moon, which is fun.
Yeah, but... Us predator hunting, we run Wicked Lights. Christian's got a Scan Pro, I got a Scan Pro, and that's my headlamp when we're duck hunting. If you're a duck hunter and you need a good headlamp, Scan Pro from Wicked Lights is the way to go. They've got dimmer switches, multiple colors, but so like in that situation when it is heavy fog, you can kind of dim it down but still adjust your beam length and kind of cut the fog a little bit. So they help. They're not great. I mean,
yeah, before that, I mean, I was just running the just a handheld spotlight.
Yeah. They're about as good as you can get for foggy weather, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Great lights. But, yeah, so we're cutting through. Well, I guess, do we want to start on... Let's start on just everything. Going up there, I guess. We're kind of getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, we had planned to go up there and hunt with Brad. We made it for this past weekend, and it all worked out for everybody. We get up there... Well, we had to go after work, of course, just like we do every single time. but
yeah, no scouting, just yeah. kind of going off of. I mean, honestly, what Christian had told me from in the past is they normally hunt a
different to what the wind was.
Spot, but they're walking in. But he had his boat and he had an idea.
Yeah, so I mean, typically I kind of, I just took my knowledge of going out there and seeing where the birds were flying, just sitting out there, you know, walking in, and kind of took that knowledge to what the wind was and what the weather was going to look like and just went from there. And it ended up, you know, being pretty good. Our first hunt, I think that it, the wind was definitely more in our favor. The weather wasn't the best, but the wind was in our favor. It was sunny that morning, which kind of had to lay a little partly cloudy. And anyways, so I was just looking at it on the map. We were looking at when we got there with Brad. We're like, hey, I think that, you know, we need to sit here because it's close to the ramp. I'd never been on this lake in a boat. There, I know there's stumps and trees everywhere. So there's kind of no other option. If we're going to walk in, we're going to walk in. If we're going to take the boat, we're going here because I'm not going that far on this lake.
Yeah.
Anyways, we all get a plan together at his house, get all our stuff put away, get our showers, you know, whatever. Just kind of sit there and cut up, talk a little bit. Then, you know, the deciding factor always the night before is the dreading moment of decision. Is what time are we going to get up? And typically, if you're a duck hunter,
it's early.
Yeah, it's especially on public land. Yeah. I mean, if you got private land, whatever, you're living the luxury life. But if you're roughing it out on public, you're getting up early.
Yeah, it's
some people are camping out, but I, you know, I'm going to be the one to say I'm not doing that.
This year, especially, it seems like a lot of people have camped out. Like I've seen a ton of people going in the night before and camping.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the only way to do it sometimes. If you actually, well, I mean, I don't blame you. I don't blame the people that do it because let's say I spent a whole week scouting the lake looking for birds and I found birds and I see them holding up and I know where they're at and I don't want anybody to get, you know, near it.
Yeah.
Maybe I do it, but it would have to take quite a bit of birds for me to sleep in the middle of the lake.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, either way, we kind of got a little game plan going. Decided what time we're going to get up. You're like, yeah, we're going to stop at the gas station and get our morning little honey bun in, little Red Bull action, honey bun.
Honey
bun.
That's
my go-to is a honey bun and Red Bull.
Yeah. I'm superstitious. Like, grew up playing baseball, so, you know, baseball players pretty superstitious. Honey bun, if you ain't eating it, you ain't going to have a good day of duck hunting. Just
nope. And we're going to get to that little ritual here in a minute.
Yep. Yep.
But either way, yeah. Got out there, got the boat unhooked. Everybody parked car. And over there, you got to check in now. So different WNA or WMAs, you have to actually get the app and check in on whatever part you're hunting and stuff like that so they know. Just so if you don't know, now you know. Make sure you do it because I know a buddy got a warning and he didn't actually get a ticket. But either way, we got out there duck hunting, whatever. In the middle of the lake and it's cold. Like I said, it's foggy. We get out, we find the spot, and thankfully I picked a spot where the water was
about perfect.
Somewhat shallow.
Yeah.
I mean, it was shallow out until about where you couldn't get a bird or get a shot on a bird. So that was ended up being good. Built a blind, we got some loppers.
Honestly, like
everything.
For duck hunting, this spot was like probably the most convenient place we have ever duck hunted public land. Because normally when you're duck hunting, especially public land, you're dealing with a few things. Either you're in, you know, not fun to wade water, thick, nasty mud, or a place with no cover. Which, where we were hunting, the water's kind of receded, so the cover, as far as at the water's edge, wasn't great. But there was plenty of stuff for us to build a blind with. And we built like the Taj Mahal of a public land blind. But the bottom of the lake was really nice right there. Like not muddy hardly at all.
Yeah, more sandy.
Yeah, just real nice. And then water depth was like perfect. I mean, we could wade a good ways out and only be, you know, belly button deep before it started to get to that point. You're like, okay, maybe I'm not going to wade much further.
Right. Yeah, I mean, so we get the all the boat parked, get the blind built, got all the decoy set. So that particular day, like we had said, we hadn't done any scouting. We couldn't. We were at work, and it's three and a half hours away or whatever. So I'm running Widgeon, Teal, Gadwall, Pintail, and some coots.
Yeah.
And that was kind of our main spread. We were running a jerk rig, a spreader that we made, three pulsators, and a kicker. So as far as the movement goes, if it was 1 mile an hour wind, you don't have to worry about it. We're going to have that spread moving.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I was running pretty close to probably 36 decoys, which early in the season we can get away with it. If you can get away with it, use it because you spend all your money on it anyways. But as far as the mojos go, we're kind of straying away, at least here on the mojo hunting. Just had too many birds flare off of them.
Yeah.
And even though it's early season, those birds still kind of know what they're looking at.
Yeah, I mean, they make it. I've kind of put it into perspective this year. Like, you got to think, Canada's season opens, what, almost a month before us? Mm-hmm. So those birds are seeing mojos a month before they even maybe start thinking about coming down here. And then we're already a few weeks into the season, and yeah, we're about as far south as they're going to get.
Yeah, and so, on top of that, they just let you use motion decoys in some different states and stuff like that too, so everything's going to see it.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, they got a long way to go between here and there and a lot of time to do so to see all that. So
yeah, so we're running that spread, getting the blind all set up, like I said. And then by the time that we got everything set up, we kind of sat in the blind, got all the stuff ready for the video camera and whatever else that we were running, getting the guns ready, everything. And, you know, you're always kind of that anticipation when the sun comes up. You're like, man, we just did all this work. We're hoping that it pays off, even if it's just one group,
yeah,
one duck, whatever. You're always just anticipating something. Yeah. Usually, and that's another thing, too, I've noticed, which I think is mainly because we haven't seen as many teal yet, but there'd always be
teal buzzing early.
Yeah, something landing in the spread early, almost every single time.
Yeah.
And we haven't had that yet, so it's kind of like, dang, I don't know if we're even where the birds are yet because we don't have nothing in our decoy spread yet and it's not shooting time.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we're normally having to watch the clock and play when can we shoot, not yeah, waiting on.
Yeah, it's birds. A timed water spot.
Yeah, the old aqua.
Mm-hmm. I'll continue. Smack. But, yeah, I mean, that sun comes up, and thankfully it wasn't in our face.
Yeah.
It's blowing a little bit. The wind's blowing a little bit out of, I don't know if it was a north wind or if it was a south wind.
It was a south
wind. It was a south wind. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. So, we're dealing with the south wind, which, like I said, where we're hunting was in our favor.
Yeah.
Couldn't complain. And we start seeing some birds.
Yeah, first birds we've seen, which, I mean, if you're from Central Texas and you duck hunt, it, I guess depending on where you're at, like Waco area gets a good bit of mallards. But like here where we're at, I mean, up until this hunt, I've only seen a handful of mallards myself.
Yeah.
I haven't been duck hunting very long, but I've only seen a handful.
Yeah, I mean, I've been duck hunting since middle school, and I only shot one mallard in my life up until
this weekend,
yeah, which is when I got, you know, that few more that we had gotten. So to see them flying and to see them working is a completely new concept. Like, you see them all on YouTube. You see them on everything. Everybody hunting them, like, green, this and that. Like, yeah, dude, that'd be fun if they were here.
Yeah.
If they were and here, I understand the hype now because, I mean, they are a pretty fascinating bird. Like, they work. And
so nice.
I get why people will target greenheads for sure after hunting them now. But
well, yeah, and so, like, for us, you know, it's kind of that bird, like, you want to kill. I mean, everybody wants to kill mallards. Even people that kill mallards all the time want to kill mallards.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sitting here, and that's the birds that we want to kill just because we don't have them, and we want to see how they work and stuff. Well, first birds we see is a pair of mallards just come buzzing our spread. And, I mean, you'd have thought – I'm not, like, trying to toot our horn. I'm not saying we're, like, the best out there or anything. But you'd have thought we worked for freaking Duck Commander or something the way we were moving birds around this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We called on them and they would break. But early in the day, it took us a minute to kind of figure out what was going on. Wind was a little, it wasn't perfect wind for where we sat, but it was workable.
Yeah. I mean, it's every single time you hunt, you got to figure out what's working, what's not.
Because
every day ain't the same.
Which they were responding to the calls. Great.
Mm-hmm.
We'd get them that first pair. I think we got them to break around. And then they ended up flaring. I think it was we had a mojo out with a pulse. What is it called? What is that deal called?
I don't know.
We call it the Fapper.
Yeah.
It's smack in the water. Anyway, I think they flared off the mojo that first pair. And we were like, all right, we're pulling it. So we ran out there, pulled the mojo. Like, it literally, one group of birds flare, nah, gone. Then we started to see birds getting up. And it was, I mean, it was right about shooting light. And we started seeing ducks flying, and it's all mallards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure that we had another group come in. I don't remember. Is it, had we had shot a bird by that time when
no.
we got went out to move the spread around?
No.
So it was still, like, it was getting not late into the hunt, but it was probably 30 minutes after shooting time.
And we'd had a couple groups come by.
We had
by.
A couple groups, you know, kind of come by and, you know, look at us and didn't really like what they were seeing. So we went out and we were adjusting the spread. And
it was like they were.
It seems like any time that you go out, adjust the spread, take a pee, it doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're not actively hunting, birds are flying.
Yeah.
It seems like every time.
But it was like, I think we'd had a few groups come by. Like that first pair for sure flared and we pulled the mojo. But I think we had another group or two come by and they worked. But it was like, y'all that duck hunt, you know, like me and Christian, we've talked about this multiple times. I don't know how many, I don't think we've ever shot at passing birds. Like we don't pass.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We
it
just
did pass.
We just finish. Like we're not shooting them unless they're finishing.
Yeah, unless they're feet down.
Yeah.
Cupped up.
Which these birds, we could have shot all the birds that we worked, we could have shot passing them.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to finish them. Well, we had birds work. And it was like, you know, about that time they should be finishing that pass, they should be finishing, they would kick off. So we were like, something's not right. Like something, they don't like something. So we kind of talked and we're like, well, we had like a, as Christian said in the video, like a hybrid JU type of spread going.
Mm-hmm.
But with
it
the wind,
it was a lowercase J.
Lowercase J.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Specific on lowercase.
Yep.
Why is that important?
It's just that hook with that extra line in it, just kind of
throw them off,
kind of pulls them into that one little hole.
Yeah. Well, so with the way the wind was and where we were sitting, I was like, man, maybe we should just kick like a couple kind of off to the left, like going out with the wind a little bit to make them feel like they have more of a hole. Because it was like a U but J thing. I don't know. They had a lot of space to land, but we were like, eh, maybe we throw something here to make them want to finish here.
Yeah.
So me and Christian walk out, and we're talking. We're like out in the decoys talking. Hey, where are we throwing decoys? I pick up one, and I threw a teal, and I was like, let's just kind of fill a couple in, like right there. So Christian grabs a couple, and we start throwing them. I think we didn't even move a half a dozen decoys.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been in the water 30 seconds, and Brad's like, hey, out front. And Christian and I look up, and there's like 15 mallards.
Yeah, there's only two hens in the whole group, too.
Yeah, all green. And they were flying southeast. They were flying away from us. And they were probably, what, 200 yards maybe?
When we first seen them?
When we first seen them.
Oh, yeah.
This was before we knew what was in the group or anything.
Yeah.
We just seen birds, and we're like, let's call at them. We hit the call, like, we're standing in the waters, we hunker down, we hit the call, and the whole group turns, and we're like, oh.
Yeah, we're literally trying to make us look like a bunch of fat stumps in the water, butt in the water, puckering a little bit, you know, just sitting there hoping that they wouldn't think they saw us, but, I mean, we're sticking out like a sore thumb, dude. We're sitting in the middle of the decoys, and we're calling them, and we're just kind of like, keeping our head and our chin tucked down and kind of looking up, giving them the brow and watching what they're doing and kind of adjusting our calls to what they're doing. And I mean, they had to have been within 30, 40 yards above us circling.
Yeah. I mean,
if we weren't in the decoys, like 100% would have decoyed, no problem, would have finished and we would have got who knows how many.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, that happens.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it happened with the biggest group of the whole,
the
hunt,
whole trip.
But, you know, and, we don't have birds in numbers like most people that might be listening, whatever. Like, we're not going to have thousands of birds
to work and
thousands of opportunities. Like, when we get opportunities, we make them count.
Yeah.
We try not to miss.
Yeah, yeah. And again, like I said, we don't pass shoot. I mean,
yeah,
we could probably kill a ton more ducks if we would pass shoot, but this is not what it is. I mean, you can go out
It doesn't
there.
Make it as much of a sport to me, like, you know, not harping on the people that do sky blast, whatever, but, you know, if I can get a bird to work, and I'm sure everybody can relate to this if they duck hunted even one time, to get to see the birds work and get to see them finish and, you know, put their feet down and almost get right in the decoys and everybody just pop up and start shooting. Yeah. It's probably the best feeling out of all hunting.
Yeah. I'll take 1,000 times over shooting less birds to kill just a few more by finishing them.
Yeah. I mean, I think some of my best hunts that we've ever had duck hunting was just one group of birds that just did it perfect.
Yeah.
And we're like, dude, that was freaking awesome.
Yeah. It's just like coyote calling. Like you get a coyote to come in hard at 25 yards and you shoot him at the call versus poking one at 200 yards sitting down. Yeah. Way different.
Mm-hmm.
But so yeah, biggest group of the day, we're in the decoys. I mean, we worked them. We worked the piss out of these ducks and they gave us kind of like golden rules, like third pass, they're going. I think these mallards circled us like 5-6 times with us in the spread. And Brad was in the blind. Brad could have easily shot some. And he even said that. He's like, you know what? He's like, I could have shot some, but I was hoping they would kind of cut back north and give you all a second to get in the blind.
Yeah. But, you know, the opportunity wasn't there. It was awesome to get to see him that close. Like I said, just even get to see mallards like that for us was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And, I mean, comparing to other ducks that I've called and I've worked, mallards work probably better than any other duck I've seen. If you're tucked away, you're hidden, your spread looks right, your wind's right, you're doing everything that you're supposed to do, like we pretty much try to do 99% of the time, they will
do it nasty.
You know, they will do it.
Yeah.
They will finish.
We found this out.
And you know, it's awesome because, I mean, you got to think, unless you're throwing in the little peeps and the little miscellaneous different whistles and stuff like that of other duck species, really the only thing that your duck call sounds like is a mallard hen.
Yeah, most people.
I mean, that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Calling at a group of mergansers or a group of something like that, you know, they're not making that noise.
Yeah, no.
They're just hearing other ducks. But to call the duck species that you're calling at with that species.
Call.
Works.
Yeah.
Obviously. So, I think that's the main thing.
Yeah. And we were sitting there.
I mean, don't get me wrong. You can obviously call ducks with a mallard hen call.
Yeah, we do it all
obviously
the time.
That's the main thing.
90% of people do it.
But I'm just saying, when that's just like going and hunting elk and using a stag call.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Probably.
That's just,
yeah, it's like you're using the wrong thing for the wrong species, but maybe it might work. I don't know if that would work with elk.
Probably not.
But with ducks, I mean, 99%.
That's an extreme example.
Yeah.
I'm just
99% of people on their lanyard will be mallard calls and maybe a whistle.
Hmm.
Like, I mean, that's what's on mine. I've got 2 mallard calls and a whistle and a finisher. Christian has mallard call, wood duck call, gadwall call.
You just call me the duck commander special. I got a really nice Pacific calls.
Shout out PCD.
Yeah. Pacific calls are awesome. I don't know if y'all have used their stuff, but the double deuces, I think that's what it's called.
Yeah, you got a deuces.
Yeah, the deuces call, that double reed call is pretty nice. So it sounds really good.
Yeah.
Sort of run all the time. But as far as everything else, you know, you don't only need it here and there. So I don't have like top notch whoever makes the best call, teal hen.
Yeah.
You know, no, I got duck commander teal hen, the whistle, the wood duck call, and the gadwall. Because they work. They sound good.
Yeah.
And I don't need them all the time.
Yeah.
But the mallard call, I'm going to spend a little extra money on.
Yeah.
I want something that sounds good.
Yeah, and it does.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I got on my lanyard, along with the Mojo remote and then the finisher.
Yeah. But most people's lanyard will be, you know, a couple mallard calls, maybe a teal whistle, and that's it. And majority of people, I mean, even us, like, up until last year, you see gadwall, you're calling with a mallard call.
Yeah. And sometimes when I'm, you know, we're running skinnier water or ponds or something like that, then I'll throw in something a little less screaming, less open water,
and more of like
more something that's a little more quiet and subtle.
Yeah,
just kind of get them in better.
And were kind of running. So Christian was running that deuces, which is kind of like it's not an open water call, but it's pretty loud. I was running a single reed. It's a PCD. It's Pacific calls single reed open water call. My buddy Adam Foster with Biscuit Head Waterfowl. He turned us on to Pacific Calls last year, and they're excellent.
Mm-hmm.
That PCD, great for open water. I mean, it's loud. And then Christian got me a Slayer last year or 2 years ago. It's a double reed. Sounds great, but you have to, like, really finesse that call. But, I mean, we were using all three. Like, he was using the deuces. I was using that PCD when they were out there, and then they would work in, and Christian would kind of work to, like, a chuckle. I don't even know, like, a chuckling, like, cluck, almost like bouncing hen type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would switch to that Slayer and hit him with, like, a whiny yeah. finessing hen.
Yeah. For me, it's no matter what I'm doing, especially duck hunting. I mean, other type of hunting, you can do whatever. But when it comes to duck hunting, I try to do what other people aren't doing all
yeah.
the time.
Yeah.
Because it seems like when you're duck hunting, we need to set the spread in the same formation every time. We need a mojo every time. We need to hit them with the greeting call, the same cadence, the same number of notes every time. Like, if you're not switching it up and you're not sounding real,
you're the same
and
as
you're
the
not looking
guy.
Real, the ducks know that.
Yeah, same as the next guy.
Maybe if they're dumb, you know, maybe if they're teal or something, whatever, they'll just buzz in there, they'll land, whatever. But when it comes to really trying to key in on those smarter ducks, I just think, not that we're the best in the world, you know, we don't put up huge numbers of birds, but when we get them to finish and we get them to work,
it's
they
nasty.
Do it, you know.
Yeah, better than most. And anyway, so we were working big group of mallards. We get back in the blind, and Brad was like, me and Christian were kind of like pissed because we're like, dang, we're out in the spread. You know, we could have killed those birds. Brad, why didn't you shoot them? And yeah. he's like, you know, I wanted y'all in here. And then we started talking about working mallards, and we're like, yeah, you know, we don't really get to do that very often, so this is cool. And then we seen some mallards land out in front of us. And, like, I was sitting there, and I was like, dude, I was like, I've called gadwall off the water into the spread before with a mallard call.
Yeah.
And I just started, like, jacking around calling at this duck, and here he comes. Gets up off the water.
It was a pair.
Yeah, it was a pair.
I shot the hen.
Yeah. No. The first one was single.
Oh, gotcha.
That was a group of four. They got up when I shot the single. Because it was a group of, like, he landed with a group. And they landed out in front of us.
Yeah, yeah, I remember now.
I called him out of the group. And then, like, when he got off, me and Christian both called him. And we were, like, calling extremely heavily. Like, most times we probably wouldn't call this heavy, I don't think. But they were responding so good. And
yeah, I mean, we weren't doing anything wrong, though. We're calling at their tail feathers and at their wing. We weren't calling when their freaking face was right in our right in our spread.
Yeah, but we were calling a lot. Like, we were making a lot of noise at the ducks, and they were responding to it. But that's the thing, too, and we really learned it that weekend is, you know, read the birds and see how they're reacting to what you're saying to them.
Mm-hmm.
And these birds were liking everything we were throwing at them for the most part. And anyway, pull this duck up off the water. He banked to the west, and Christian hit that little, like, clucking hen thing. I don't know what it was. I don't even know how to replicate it. We'll post it, and you'll understand it when you hear it. It was sick. And I hit that little whining hen, and here he comes. And I don't know. He cupped up for a long ways. And Christian and Brad both killed mallards, and they're like, hey, he's yours, man. Like, shoot him. And the second, you know, he got clear of the corner of the blind, I dumped him right in the spread. I mean, just perfect feet down. Beautiful.
Yeah, pretty mallard for sure.
Yeah, he was a stud. I was extremely excited. But when I shot him, the rest of the group kicks up off the water, and we call the group in.
Yeah. And that was another crazy thing. It's like they almost didn't know what direction that we were shooting them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we would shoot and then work birds and shoot. And
I mean, it was a good thing, too, because they were fresh birds.
Yeah.
We had just gotten the front, like, a couple days prior, maybe a day prior, and it was south wind kind of holding them.
Yeah.
So they were still fresh on that lake. They hadn't got an opportunity to kind of figure it all out yet, so they were kind of just expecting and relying on the other birds on the lake, which in that case was our decoys.
Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely helped out a lot. But either way, I mean, it was a great hunt. A lot of memories made for sure. I mean, Brad got to meet Richard. They got to, you know, talk a little bit more. I guess, sorry, they've already met before, but, you know,
we kind of got spent some time.
We got that blind bondage, you know. And
said things that should never be said.
Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, that was it was all a good time for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely awesome time.
And then I guess we're going to kind of follow it up on the way back. So this is, we had hunted 2 days out there, same spot. And this is on the way back. And keep in mind, it's about 10 o'clock in the morning. And there's another, I don't know if it was another front or if it was a storm or what it was that was coming in. But there was a heavy storm system or weather system pushing in, and it was 20-mile-an-hour wind gust on the lake.
Second day. This is Sunday.
Yeah, this is the last day. And, I mean, that lake is full of trees, so you get a bunch of waves. Like, or not as many waves, sorry. But it won't break in whitecap as much because all the trees blocking the waves and all that stuff like that.
Kind of mellows it out.
Well, the wind was strong enough on that day that it was white capping by the time you get out of the trees. So we're on the way back to the boat and we're like, yeah, well, we're going to cut around this way this time because the wind's kind of blowing in a little bit better. Because if we would have gone the way that we went before, we would have been driving and the wind would have been a crosswind.
Yeah, a lot.
From left to right.
Yeah.
So the waves would have been pretty much going into the boat.
Hitting us broadside, basically.
And if you've ever driven a boat, which I'm not the best at it, obviously, but you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of want to drive across it or with it, whatever, but you definitely don't want to drive along the side of a wave.
And especially in our situation, I mean, we're running little bitty John boat.
Yeah, a little 15. I don't even know how wide it is.
Definitely overweight. Like, not the smartest thing to do, but we were doing it. And
yeah,
we knew.
We got three guys on the blind, or in the boat, and then we're running camera gear, decoys.
We probably had 300 or 400 pounds of
blind
equipment.
Gear. It was, yeah, just if you were to put everything that we had just besides ourselves, like clothing and all, and put on a scale, yeah, it'd probably be like 300 or 400 pounds worth of stuff. Not even including how much stuff is in the boat beyond that. But
and we knew going in, like, we were worried about the wind that day. Because the first day, I think it was like 12, 15-mile-an-hour winds, which that drive was fine, but we knew it was going to be probably pretty rough.
Yeah, so we get off the backside of this island, is kind of where we're hunting, and I can just see the white caps, and I'm like, dude, that looks pretty bad. Like, if any other boat, you know, if you're in any other kind of boat bigger than that, you're kind of like, oh, yeah, I'm feeling safe about that, whatever. But this boat's struggling, dude. I mean, I think we can max it out at 13, 14 miles an hour with that much stuff. And
we were puckered.
You're going up against waves. You're trying to drive alongside them, and that mud motor is kicking up out of the waves, so you're losing power the whole time because the waves are coming up tall enough to pull it out, because it's like a surface drive long tail kind of hybrid thing is what it is. It's like a mud skipper twister or whatever it's called. So it's not the most ideal situation at all.
Yeah
but in all honesty, I didn't think it was gonna be that bad.
Yeah,
I knew it was gonna be windy, I knew there's gonna be waves, but I didn't think it was gonna get buck wild.
It got
like
a little
deer.
But so, we had planned, so like he was saying, you know, we came in on the north side and we just cut straight across, you know, wind blowing from the south and broadsiding us basically. But we talked about it before we left. We're like, you know, if we hit it from the south side and kind of go at an angle, at least the wind will be kind of pushing us the way we need to be going. And yeah, we're going to have to fight it, but we're not going to have to fight it as bad. Like, had we gone the other way, we'd have been screwed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so we keep on puttering along, dude, and they're just, all of a sudden, this one big wave kind of swells the boat and kind of tries to pull it back, like, against the motor.
Yeah.
It was strong little swell. And it kind of knocks us over, like, not over, but it kind of knocks us off balance, and I lose the handle of the prop, or not the prop, but the tiller handle of the motor, and it swings sideways, and the whole boat just kind of
lays in
goes sideways and lays into the wave, and it dang near flipped us over, and I just am scrambling to try to grab the tiller handle to push us up against the backside of that wave, and it almost got hairy, I mean.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure Brad fell over. He almost fell in the water.
Yeah,
it was pretty bad. So that was probably the worst part of the whole thing, almost falling in freezing water. But
things you do.
We had ducks on the strap.
And we made it.
Yeah, hey. We made it back to the boat ramp, and it was just as nice as could be by the time you get out there, because it's blocked by that wind where it's at on the lake. So
yeah.
Yeah, we get loaded up. I mean, we get the boat. I don't think anybody even said anything after those whole all of that event. until we got the boat on the trailer and out of the water, and everybody was standing at the truck over at the boat ramp, and we're like, dude, that was bad. We almost just died.
Brad was like, that was the worst boat ride. He's like, I think that might be the scariest moment of my life.
He laid on the deck, like, and just laid down with his head on the back of the boat and just closed his eyes and was holding on the side of the boat on each side of it.
It was not good. Like, it was very hairy. And yeah. I mean, we do some sketchy stuff sometimes, but yeah, that was, anyways.
Started to head back home because we had a long couple of days, long weekend. It was fun. It was a good time. And so, I mean, that was our weekend at duck hunting a couple weekends ago. And then this past weekend, we just got back from the deer lease yesterday. Or I should say last night.
Yeah.
Long time there. We had Thanksgiving with our family and everything. And we decided that we were going to go on Thanksgiving Day because everybody was going to have Thanksgiving lunch. At least everybody, as in me and Richard, you know.
Yeah.
We decided we were going to go Thursday. So everybody got all packed up for that. And we headed on to the deer lease.
Yeah, that way, you know, trying to capitalize on a little bit of a break and get up there and actually get a good amount of time, because it's a long hike up there, and it's not like going up there for 2 days really isn't that ideal. Like, even when we found out about it, we always talked, like, you know, if we're going up there, we're probably going to take Friday or Monday off and go for a 3 day stretch at least.
Yeah, if we're going to do all this work, take all this stuff, haul all this stuff and put miles in the truck, fuel, we're going to spend at least 3 days.
Yeah.
Hunting. So.
And that's what happened. I mean, we got to get up there. My dad went along with us. Jordan came with us, Christian's wife. And then everybody met us up there Friday morning. But we got to hunt Friday. That one extra hunt was really the only difference. But, you know, it was worth going.
Mm-hmm.
Got up there. We got to actually hunt for the first time this year up there. We had planned to go up there for opening weekend, but got rained out. And when it rains up there, it holds water.
Yeah, it's like flash floods and washouts. And
yeah, and actually, bad. We got there Thursday night. And so one of the other guys on the lease, he was up there last weekend. And he was like, hey, you know, like, y'all can't cross to the south side, which is where we have three stands on the south side.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get there and we're like, well, let's get everything set up on the camper. And then we're going to go check the crossing. And unload the Can-Am. We hike over there and almost got stuck getting to the crossing.
Yeah, so, I mean, thing is, you got to figure out the equipment that you're using first. I was in the Can-Am, and it was dark, so you couldn't really see, and it doesn't light up in the four-wheel drive setting, or it doesn't light up enough to where I could tell what it was. Anyways, it was in two-wheel drive.
Yeah.
With the diff not locked.
Yeah.
So, I mean, good enough tires on it, but not good enough to blow through a silt hole of mud.
The mud, and we'll show you all that. The mud up there is kind of different. But the good deal is, you know, if you can get through the mud, it's kind of like a hard pan underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just got a lot of topsoil and silt that kind of erodes and sits and holes, and then it turns to a big, nasty mud pit.
Yeah, when you get to the bottom, like you said, it's almost like it's freaking rock underneath there. It's solid. So you have like 8-9 inches of just pure silt.
Yeah.
Like, I guess it does sandy, a lot of muddy silt, nasty red dirt, whatever. Yeah.
I guess it has a lot of clay, so
yeah.
The stuff that's actually down there is hard. And that's why it holds water so much, I guess.
Yeah, so once you make a rut, I mean, it's not like it is here. When you make a rut, you want to go away from the rut.
Yeah.
When you make a rut there, you want to go in it again.
Get in the rut.
Yeah. You have to ride the rut.
Right. Yeah, baby, that's gonna be a sticker.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to the crossing, we're like, oh yeah, no, we're not doing that.
And this was in the middle of the dark. We had gotten there at dark.
Yeah, I think like 9 o'clock.
I think that we're not gonna full send it when we first got there the first night. I was like, yeah, that might be a recipe for tomorrow when there's somebody else.
Yeah, here. When there's somebody else here, if we do get stuck, we can get out. Yeah, 9 o'clock, 2 miles from camp. Nah, let's go to bed and try it again tomorrow.
Yeah. And it did take somebody else to get stuck for us to figure out that you could go across it.
Yeah, the other guy on the lease, Adrian, he got there, and I don't know if he got stuck or if it was his kids or what. No, I think it was Adrian.
I don't know if it was him or his wife or who it was.
Somebody sent it and just straight bottomed out their Can-Am.
Yeah, I mean, at any other spot, I was like, that is not getting out.
Yeah.
You're going to need to call a dozer or something over here to get that thing out, because it was freaking up past the freaking step sides.
Yeah, like up into the cab of the
Can-Am. Like in the gas and brakes of it.
And I don't... Honestly, I don't know. I mean, Garrett was there, and he had the other Polaris, so I don't know. I'm assuming they just hooked a ratchet strap and pulled him out.
Yeah, all ratchet strap.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know what they did, but they got him out. And then pretty much, you know, like he was kind of like the sacrificial lamb, because after that, we were good to go. But
yeah, so we ended up not, you know, like we said, we did not hunt that the morning following us getting there, so... I drove down to our southeast stand that you can get to from the road, whatever, and hunted that and saw a doe that morning. And, I mean, it really just – there's not a whole lot of traffic in that spot, it seems like. There's just some good deer that will come through, but they don't really hold. They don't bed over there. So,
yeah,
kind of just have to catch them coming through, chasing a doe or whatever. But I was like, man, they're not really acting real ruddy
yeah.
right now. I don't think I'm going to sit here, so – I ended up sitting one hunt at my stand that we eventually got to, and there was some deer, but we ended up not seeing really anything that we could go after. I wasn't unsuccessful by any means, but just didn't see anything that we really wanted to shoot. I mean, I think Richard saw a decent deer.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of deer. I'm kind of in a totally different, well, Christian's main stand is kind of a lot like mine. Like, we're both like river bottom stands, like places that'll hold deer all the time. I seen a good buck, but he's more of like one of what we would classify as like a coal for this spot or this lease. And even that, he's like borderline. Like, to me, I don't think he's a coal yet. Like,
yeah,
I think he's 3.5. He's a good deer, like a very good deer. But 3.5, 4.5, I would shoot him, but not yet. And then tons of turkey. I did see a giant deer right at the end of shooting light one evening. But, you know, shooting light was over. He come out. I mean, literally, I'm not even lying. I had just unloaded my gun, and I dropped the shell, and it hit the bottom of my stand. And this deer pops out. And Dad's like, look at that. And I was like, sweet.
Hmm.
And I tried to look at him through binoculars and see what he was, but I couldn't tell. It was too dark.
He was looking at his hoof watch.
Yeah. He was a big deer, though. He had another buck come out behind him that I'm pretty sure was the other deer I'd already seen, and he dwarfed that deer. I mean, size, like body size and antler size. But it was a good hunt. I mean, you know, my dad got to go with me, which is always fun. Got to see deer, got to see turkeys, tons and tons of turkeys. Saw another animal out there. That was pretty cool to see. I've never seen one while hunting, so I'm not going to tell y'all what it is, but it was cool. And then we kind of, everybody else kind of had kind of like similar hunts, you know. I think the deer are like on the back end of this first estrus cycle, so the bucks are still chasing does. Everybody's all beat up.
Or but, they're laid up with them right now.
Yeah. They're just trying to find, like, they're either with a doe or they're trying to find like that last doe, you know, around.
Snotbread.
The bucks are moving. It was nice to see actually how the deer kind of moved through my area. Got a pretty good run for them bucks. At my spot, they're kind of running that river.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody else kind of had similar hunts. You know, everybody's seen a couple deer here and there. Bo and his wife, she shot a pig, which was cool. But that Friday, so we hunted that Friday morning, and before everybody got up there, we decided we were going to look for ducks. Scout the tanks that are on the property that we've got blinds on, and then run up to a public land spot up there by us. And we went to the lake and no birds at all. And we're like, oh man. But there's another little hole back behind this lake that's public land. And we're like, well, let's go look at that.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, we had scouted it on Onyx, and we're like really excited because it looked like you could drive all the way into it and it'd be like super easy. Not the case. Never the case with public land.
Never the case with duck hunting.
Yeah.
Not going to be easy.
Never going to be easy.
Yeah, so, I mean, we get in this little spot, and we got our binos with us. We're glassing, and we're like, oh, there's ducks right here. So I came over the top of the dam, and I look out. I'm like, look like widgeon right there. Well, I couldn't really see very well because, you know, I'm using, like, I don't even know what power they are. Just cheap little Vortex binos. Anyways, so we get a better look at them. They ended up being ruddy ducks.
Yeah.
And they were still plumed, which is kind of crazy. Usually they kind of are pretty ugly around now.
Yeah.
But they're still nice.
Crazy to see. I mean, like...
Yeah. We don't... In that area, that's kind of like the last thing I was expecting. I know that we'd see puddle ducks, like widgeon for sure, pintail probably, and then maybe some mallard too, but was not expecting anything that we saw.
It was crazy.
Yeah, so we get out there and we scout and we're looking. We glassed from what we could see. You know, this is a pretty big spot. There's some pockets and some whatever that we couldn't walk around to get to at the time because we were tired, whatever. We didn't look at the whole entire thing, but from what we saw, we probably saw about 70 birds.
Yeah.
I mean, good enough to want to hunt it for sure. And we're just sitting out there looking in glass. I'm like, dude, what are those freaking ducks over there? We pull up the binos. There are three long tails sitting on this pond in West Texas. And they're like, dude, what the heck are they doing here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like somebody dropped them off. Like they were tired of taking care of them or something.
Yeah. They were out there pretty good ways. Like we first seen them and we're like, man, those are awfully like white, and they kind of had a white head. And I was like, well, maybe they're buffalo heads. And then we like walked around and got closer, and we actually got like, I mean, we could have shot them if we had taken.
I could have hit them with a rock at one time. Yeah. They were like 20, 30 yards away.
Yeah. Three freaking long tails.
Yeah. So that was like game over. We're hunting this. We're going to try to kill these birds for sure.
Yeah.
And I mean, ringneck, coots, long tail, ruddy ducks.
That was like all we seen.
I think that was it, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And one mallard drake. We seen one mallard drake. Oh, yeah,
one mallard drake was dropping in. So we're like, dude, we're hunting this pond.
Yeah, like don't care what we seen. We seen long tails.
And at that time, it was a south wind. And it was going to be a south wind the following morning. And we're like, okay, maybe we'll hunt deer. Maybe we'll hunt ducks. And it was everybody had just got there. And we're like, dude, we really don't. You know, we'll say that one duck hunt. For everybody to go with this. Because everybody kind of wanted a deer hunt. Me and Richard wanted a deer hunt too, but we had already gotten an extra hunt in, you know, so we already got most of our fill, more than anyone else would have got. So we're like, okay, well, we'll skip Saturday's hunt. We'll hunt them on Sunday morning. Well, Saturday midday, there was a north wind that blew in. Wasn't nothing too crazy, but it definitely switched to the north, and it was blowing north all day and then into that morning.
Yeah.
So good chance the ducks might have pushed out. Maybe. It wasn't a very strong wind, like I said, so maybe not, maybe. But
yeah.
Either way, it was something. But the weather was nice enough to where they could hold, so they might not have. But either way, we get to this spot, and mind you, it's not like a horrendous walk if you're just walking.
Yeah.
But when you have a kayak and you have probably four dozen decoys or something
more
like
than
that.
Four and a half dozen decoys,
whatever. I mean, a blind, chairs, guns,
mind you,
waders, duck calls, shells.
Yeah.
Everything. Like anything
waders
that you could think of for duck hunting, we had.
Yeah.
And we had it in this kayak with this $50 kayak dolly or whatever it's called.
Now, mind you, Ascend kayaks, I use an Ascend. Super awesome kayak, like super stable.
They're just like 100 pounds.
Extremely heavy. Not good for dragging long distances. So, in the past, I've used dollies, and this is like a huge shout out to this dolly because it was freaking awesome. Walmart special Ozark Trail kayak dolly. Okay. I've had other cheap ones.
It was on Rollback.
Yeah. $69.99. No, it wasn't $69. It was cheaper than that. I've had the Magellan ones, and like that kayak on its own breaks them. This cart. We strapped everything on it, which, I mean, it was probably 400 pounds of gear plus the kayak, which is not light, and we drug it. It's a little over a half a mile walk to where we were going.
Mm-hmm.
Hauled it in there and hauled it all the way out. It did collapse at one point just because that well exceeds the weight limit on it. It's only like a 100-pound weight limit.
Yeah, we very well had 400 pounds of stuff on it.
Yeah, but... smartly, we brought an extra ratchet strap, so we just strapped it to where it couldn't fall again, and we were able to drag it out. Anyway, sucks to carry all that in.
Yeah, so, I mean, we get all that all the way to the blind and get all the decoys set up. You know, same thing, same story. Duck hunting, decoys, blind, all the stuff in the blind,
yeah,
camera stuff, you know, every time. So we're sitting there and we're setting up and we're like, dude, do you hear those widgeon? The widgeon just whistling, peeping
everywhere,
all over the place. I'm like, dude, there's freaking widgeon. It's about to be nice.
Yeah.
And then we heard some mallards and then we heard some gadwall. And we're like, dude, we did not see a single one of these ducks when we scouted, but they're here nonetheless.
Which made us feel kind of two ways. We're like, eh.
We're like, dude, that's freaking awesome. They're either going to, they're either staying on here
or
they're going. And we found out about 5 minutes before shooting time, they didn't want to be there.
They were going.
They wanted to be there at night.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we were hunting a roost in the morning, needless to say. There was some birds that stayed there and, you know, that wanted to be on it just to feed and hang around until they got to their next spot, whatever. But the majority, probably 75% of them that were on it, were gone. They were up and out of there, probably 200, 300 birds.
Yeah.
Easily.
And
all widgeon, mallards. So that's the thing that's crazy, too, is that I don't know if it was a fresh batch of birds because I don't really think it was with them being there roosting. But maybe it was. I don't know. I don't think so. Either way, nothing that we had seen scouting was there.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen like three ringnecks the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, we saw teal, mallard, gadwall, widgeon, ringneck,
spoonbill,
and
snow geese, specs.
And specs. But they, I mean, the snow geese and specs, they weren't coming down the land,
passing,
but they were passing. But either way, it was like a plethora of everything that you would want to shoot on a duck hunt on this place.
Yeah. Pintail. We've seen pintail.
Oh, and pintail. Yeah, so literally pretty much every
dabbling duck you could think of.
Every dabbling duck that you'd want to shoot was there.
And we shot a coot.
Yeah. I mean, we had a couple opportunities. And, you know, like me and Richard had talked about, pass shooting's really not our thing. There was a couple that came in within, you know, 30 yards passing the decoys. And there was no wind. Needless to say, that didn't help us at all. No wind, sunny skies. And
I think, honestly,
those ducks don't. We weren't in their feeding spot. We were just in a spot that we knew that they could see from everywhere.
Yeah.
So we thought that maybe we could break them, call them in, get them to work.
Yeah.
Get them to land in. But there was no, I guess there was just not any food in that location. Like those ducks that were still on that that lake, they knew the areas.
Yeah. It was
where ducks would be. So we kind of stood out. They were like, yeah, no, y'all aren't real.
Yeah, it was a mix of a few things, I really think. I mean, I think the birds that hung around past sunrise were local ducks. You know, they're pretty much there.
Mm-hmm.
They've been pressured and no wind. So our spread, I mean, even though we have a ton of movement decoys, like our motion decoys between pulsators and the spreader, and we didn't have the spreader out, but pulsators, jerk line. I mean, we have a lot of movement, but still, the way we had set up, there was so much water to cover with no wind. Like, our decoys looked like decoys, I think was a big part of it. Like, we had one bird, like, stare at the decoys. And then, two, like, the ducks there, it's totally different than the weekend before where we could work birds. I mean, we tried a little bit of everything. Like, we started out calling like we did the weekend before and realized they wanted none of that.
Yeah.
So then, you know, if they were ripping away from us, Christian would hail at them or, you know, just kind of yell at them. They would break, and tried that a few times with a little extra, like, clucking and stuff. No. Then it just went to, okay, we'll yell at them going away, yelled at them, turned them, nothing, and they still didn't want it. So then we just eventually weren't calling at all. Mm-hmm. Like, just let the birds do what the birds are going to do. Still nothing. Out of all the ducks we've seen, we had one duck decoy. It was a Drake spoonbill. And don't really know what happened with killing it. It was not on my half of the blind. But he got out. But yeah, seeing a ton of birds. It was a fun hunt. It was a lot of work. But, you know, anytime you get out and get to see birds, and, you know, it's always a learning experience every time you're hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't see anything that we expected to see from scouting the day before. Probably because it was a roost. Those birds got out of there. Those divers probably come in a little later in the day.
Mm-hmm.
If we roost hunted it, maybe it would have gone different. Maybe not. I don't know. I don't think those birds were.
Those divers definitely come in later because they were all in the lake when we left.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a ton of divers on the lake when we left. So that's probably what they're doing. Bouncing from there to the roost. But I don't know. We might try it again when we go back up in this month in December.
Mm-hmm.
We did see birds on the tank, one of the tanks. I don't know what day. I don't remember what day. I think it was before we were leaving. I don't know, something like that. Seen some birds, but we're hopeful. You know, we seen a lot of birds have pushed down yesterday. Tanks that had absolutely nothing on. I mean, just about every tank we passed on the way back had at least some birds on it. So that has us hopeful. But it was a good weekend. It was fun. A couple good weekends of hunting. Not just stellar performances, but, you know, we got good hunts in.
Mm-hmm.
And seen good birds.
Yeah, not much more you could ask for. Just good weekend with good friends, good company. I mean, it was just a bunch of more memories made, really.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it's about. Speaking of memories made, as we kind of wrap this up, we're starting a new deal. Y'all that are on Facebook, y'all have seen the Monday morning spotlight or whatever. We've kind of cut back on that a little bit. It's something we definitely want to do. Another deal we're doing is this wall right here. We're going to call it like the community collage or community cash, something like that. Mm-hmm. Right now, we've got businesses that, you know, support us. Texas Cash, Dancing Dogs, Buddy Matt at Buck and Grizz. So y'all that are business owners that want to support us or whatever, reach out to us. We'd love to put your business card up here. Shout y'all.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a listener, you know, that has a cool find, or y'all kill a big deer or good duck or something and y'all want to go on the wall, send it to us and we'll put it up there. You know, anything to get y'all involved. This is for y'all. You know, we're trying to engage with the communities of the hobbies that we enjoy. So y'all, you know, reach out to us. We talk to everybody that hits us up. That being said,
y'all make sure you keep living your hobbies.
And we'll see y'all later.